T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
This is live coverage from ABC News. Here is correspondent Aaron Katursky.
Good day. President Biden is about to outline a new national strategy to contain the unyielding coronavirus that has claimed more than 400,000 American lives in the year since it was first detected in this country. On Biden's first full day in office, he is about to announce new executive actions about testing, health protocols, and vaccine distribution. The new president is proposing a more muscular federal response than his predecessor, who largely deferred to each state. We're joined by ABC News White House producer Molly Nagel. Molly, we see Dr. Anthony Fauci in the room. He'll be there with President Biden. He had been a figure more on the sideline in the last administration.
Well, Dr. Fauci is going to be a big part of the COVID response for the Biden administration. He's going to be the chief medical advisor to Biden when it comes to this particular issue that is going to be a focus for this administration in their first 100 days and beyond. They have made it clear that this is going to be one of the biggest things that they focus on when in terms of how they get the country back on track. They know they're coming into office facing a lot of different challenges, but really can't address those until they get the COVID under control and get people back to work. So we've seen Biden already introduce some legislation on how to deal with getting relief to the American people in this current moment before turning to those other challenges. And we're going to see from him today taking some immediate action to try and get his plan rolling and get the ball moving in terms of taking actions to increase federal response to this virus.
And there is only so much he can do through executive action. He is going to need congressional buy-in for his $1.9 trillion relief plan. But these executive actions that he's going to lay out and sign today, what can we expect, Molly?
Well, we can expect him to take as much action as, you know, he's allowed unilaterally. So one thing that we can expect to see from him today is to use that Defense Production Act. So this is something he talked about while he was out on the campaign trail quite a bit and during the transition, using this act to increase manufacturing of supplies needed for various parts of COVID, so be it personal protective equipment or pipettes for the vaccine or distribution syringes, needles for distribution of the vaccine, using that order to try and increase the supplies on hand to get it across the country. He also wants to establish a COVID pandemic testing board, increase the testing in the United States and our capacity to do so. And that'll be a critical part of another policy point that he has, which is getting most K-8 schools reopened in his first 100 days. And he says the country needs to step up its testing to make sure that that can happen safely and that there can be a testing protocol that's in place to make sure that students can get back in the classroom and teachers can get back in the classroom to make up for some of the lost time over the last year we've been dealing with this pandemic.
ABC's Molly Nagel is one of our White House producers as we wait for President Biden. Dr. Anthony Fauci is standing in the room where Biden will sign a series of executive actions about the coronavirus, from testing to health protocols and a masking mandate in federal facilities, vaccine distribution. And as Molly notes, he is going to invoke the Defense Production Act, although it's not immediately clear where that's going to be necessary. Molly, we haven't heard from vaccine manufacturers that if they only had this one thing, they could supply much more, say, vaccine. So is the president going to be specific here, or is this more of a we're going to do this because we said we were going to do this, but we're not sure if it's actually going to make a meaningful difference?
Well, that's one of the big questions we have when we look at this plan that President Biden is laying out. Is there's been a lot of concern and frustration over just the level of vaccination that's happening. There are more doses that are available than have actually been administered. And where are those bottlenecks happening and how to best correct them? So that's one of the big challenges the Biden administration is going to face. And it's not immediately clear how they're going to address that or how the DPA is, specifically meant to handle this one particular issue. But they've already identified on a call with reporters last night, they talked about 12 immediate areas of supply shortfalls that they have identified. And it includes a lot of those things that we were talking about before, the PPE that's still needed in the midst of COVID treatment, a lot of lab equipment for analysis, and all of these things that come together as part of the larger COVID response. So that's one of the big challenges the Biden team says they're going to face. And they say they're coming into this hamstrung by the previous administration. They feel they don't have the visibility into the supply chain that they wish that they had, and that they had really been had faced troubles on in terms of where they're starting. There was a quote from one of Biden's top COVID-19 advisors where he said, what we're inheriting from the Trump administration is so much worse than we could have imagined. So they're really coming into this frustrated with where they're starting, but looking to make up that lost time.
Is that actually true, Molly? Not to every administration always says that they're coming in hamstrung and it was the other guy to blame. I mean, he fully owns this now. And what it seems to be is just a difference in approach. President Trump left things largely to the states. Here's, upteen million doses. Go. It seems as if Biden wants to make things a bit more centralized through the federal government.
Right. And we should be clear here. When we're talking about how the Biden team has been approaching this and that they wish they had more time, they've been working on these plans throughout their transition. They knew that they were coming into this office, and this was going to be the major battle that they faced, was figuring out how to get the vaccine distributed across the country. Now, it's a massive Herculean task, and it is not an easy one to unpack, but they have known that this has been an issue, from the moment he was elected. And so while they may not have had the information on supply and moving what is actually available to them now, the challenge that they're facing is getting their own plan in place to make sure that when they got the reins of power yesterday at 12:01 p.m., that they could really hit the ground running. And to my view, we haven't seen a full articulation of just how they plan to, really overhaul the vaccine distribution.
They are, in a way, at the mercy of the pharmaceutical companies, Pfizer and Moderna, that are manufacturing this vaccine, and the approach that the two companies use, the mRNA technology, just has not proved easy to make on a massive scale. The hope is that when Johnson & Johnson's vaccine is authorized for emergency use, it's a different approach, and Johnson & Johnson said they should be able to make millions and millions of doses readily available, so that there is hope. And we know that Dr. Fauci has spoken about this, that when another vaccine or two comes online and is authorized for emergency use, the pace of vaccinations should be picking up around the country. But we'll wait to hear what President Biden has to say when he comes into the comes to the podium with Dr. Fauci waiting. There are others that appear to be joining this briefing on a Zoom call. Dr. Fauci is in a mask. And Molly, I think it's noteworthy just the presence of officials in masks at the White House by itself is a different visual.
Certainly. It's a very different tone from the previous administration that became known towards the end for having kind of flouting these public health advice guidance on mask wearing, holding big holiday parties and celebrations that very often resulted in COVID cases turning up as for participants. But we saw Biden yesterday in the Oval Office wearing a mask. that's something we have not seen before. The president in the Oval Office wearing that mask. And Biden has already received 2 doses of his own vaccination for COVID-19. He received 2 doses of that Pfizer vaccine. And he has urged people that even when they still receive their vaccine, they need to make sure that they are adhering to the guidance. So continuing to wear their masks, continuing the practice of social distance. And that's going to be preached throughout the Biden administration. We know that they have limited numbers of staff that are actually on the grounds and can, you know, actually get into place given the COVID concerns. They're going to be testing much more than in terms of everybody who comes in, staffers and press. Everyone will have to face a test, and they'll be using N95 masks to make sure that they are protecting in the best way that they possibly can. So this is a real tone shift for the administration, just in terms of how they're dealing with COVID in the basics of personal behavior and how they're modeling that.
ABC's Molly Nagel, part of our White House team here at ABC News, as we await President Biden, who should have been out by now, in order to sign some executive actions and to make remarks about his plan for dealing with the coronavirus. We know it has been front and center, and he has said it is a challenge that can be overcome, and he is about to outline his new national strategy to contain a virus that has now claimed more than 400,000 American lives in the year since it was first detected in the country. And in doing this, the new president seems to be putting all Americans on notice that the nation's COVID-19 response is under new management. Here now the president, Vice President Harris alongside, as he greets Dr. Fauci at the White House.
Good afternoon. Before I begin today's announcement, let me take a few moments to thank all the law enforcement folks for all they did, the military personnel, from all across the federal, state, and local agencies that secured yesterday's inaugural activities. And a special thanks to the members of the National Guard from around the country. It was an unprecedented situation. Hope will never have to be renewed again. And everyone handled with the most professionalism and duty and honor that you could be expected. The president, as president, as commander-in-chief, I always respect and revere their service and that of their families. But now to today's announcement. Vice President Harris and I were joined by members of our COVID-19 team, response team, Dr. Tony Fauci, our chief COVID medical advisor, Javier Becerra, excuse me, our nominee for Secretary of Health and Human Services, Dr. Vivek Murthy, our nominee for Surgeon General, Dr. Rochelle Walensky, she's going to be the director for the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, and Dr. Marcela Nunez-Smith, who will be leading our equity work and the COVID response, and Jeff Zients and Natalie Quillen, who are managing this whole effort. Yesterday, during my inaugural address, I offered a salient prayer and a silent prayer. It was both salient and silent. I thought it was important that people understand what had happened, that we all pay tribute to our prayers for those 400,000 Americans who've lost their lives in this pandemic. On Tuesday, Jill and I, Kamala and Doug, we stood at the reflecting pool in front of the Lincoln Memorial and joined Americans all across the country to remember those 400,000 moms and dads, husbands and wives, children, sons, daughters. And I said at that moment that to heal, we must remember. To heal, we must remember. It's important to do that as a nation. We must also act, though, not just remember. Yet for the past year, we couldn't rely on the federal government to act with the urgency and focus and coordination we needed. And we have seen the tragic cost of that failure. 3,000 to 4,000 deaths per day. To date, more than 24 million Americans have been infected. To put that in context, America makes up 4% of the world's population, but 25% of the world's confirmed COVID-19 cases and only 20% of all the COVID-19 deaths when we have 4% of the world's population. The pandemic has disproportionately impacted on Blacks, Latinos, and Native Americans, who are about four times as likely to be hospitalized and nearly three times more likely to die from the COVID-19 pandemic than white Americans. Hospitals are out of beds. Businesses are closed for good. Schools are caught in between. And while the vaccines provide so much hope, the rollout has been a dismal failure thus far. So, I understand the despair and frustration of so many Americans and how they're feeling. I understand why many governors, mayors, county officials, tribal leaders feel like they're left on their own without a clear national plan to get them through the crisis. Let me be very clear. Things are going to continue to get worse before they get better. The memorial we held two nights ago will not be our last one, unfortunately. The death toll will likely top 500,000 next month. The cases will continue to mount. We didn't get into this mess overnight. It's going to take months for us to turn things around. But let me be equally clear. We will get through this. We will defeat this pandemic. And to a nation waiting for action, let me be the clearest on this point. Help is on the way. Today, I am unveiling a national strategy on COVID-19 and executive actions to beat this pandemic. This plan reflects the ideas I set forward during the campaign and further refined over the past 3 months. It consists of my transitions teams, the task force, Tony Fauci and the team here today and other experts put this plan together. Our national strategy is comprehensive. It's based on science, not politics. It's based on truth, not denial, and it's detailed. You can review this entire plan, by going to whitehouse.gov. It is so detailed, it is over 198 pages in complete detail what we're going to do. Our plan starts with mounting an aggressive, safe, and effective vaccination campaign to meet our goal of administering 100 million shots in our first 100 days in office. We're on day one. This will be one of the greatest operational challenges our nation has ever undertaken. And I'm committed to getting it done. We're committed to getting it done. And as I explained last week, we'll move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated for free and create more places for them to get vaccinated, to mobilize more medical teams to get shots in people's arms, and to increase vaccine supply and get it out the door as fast as possible. Yesterday, we got started. We directed the Federal Emergency Management Agency, FEMA, to start standing up the first federally supported community vaccination centers with the goal of standing up 100 centers within the next month. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention will launch the federal pharmacy program to make vaccines available to communities in their local pharmacies beginning early within the, I think it's by the 7th or 8th of February, but in very early February. We'll also task the Department of Health and Human Services to prepare and expand the pool of medical professionals who can administer the vaccine. And to ensure we have enough vaccinators, the people doing the vaccines, to meet the nation's needs and quickly. In addition to this effort, our administration will be asking Congress to fund for the funds to grow the public health workforce. We also are going to take immediate steps to partner with governors, mayors, and other local officials who we've been talking to all along, who are on the front lines of this fight. We directed FEMA to establish a COVID response liaison for each state, which means every state will have a point person at the federal level to maximize cooperation between the federal government and the states, and where it falls short, to be made known about it, be made known immediately. This is a model we used to respond to Hurricane Sandy, which I was deeply involved with. And in just a few moments, I'm going to sign a declaration to immediately begin reimbursing states 100% for the use of their National Guards to help COVID relief efforts, something Democrats and Republican governors alike have called for. But the brutal truth is, it's going to take months before we can get the majority of Americans vaccinated. So while we increase vaccinations, we're going to take steps necessary now to slow the spread of the disease as well. One of our 100-day challenges is asking the American people to mask up for the first 100 days, the next 99 days. The mask have become a partisan issue, unfortunately. But it's a patriotic act. But for a few months to wear a mask, no vaccines, the fact is that they're the single best thing we can do. They're even more important than the vaccines because they take time to work. And if we do this as Americans, the experts say by wearing a mask from now until April, we'd save more than 50,000 lives going forward, 50,000 lives. So I'm asking every American to mask up for the next 100 days. Yesterday, I signed an executive action that requires masks and social distancing on federal property. Today, we'll be signing an additional executive action to extend masking requirements on interstate travel, like on trains, planes, and buses. And in light of the new COVID variants that you're learning about, we are instituting now a new measure for individuals flying into the United States from other countries. In addition to wearing masks, everyone flying to the United States from another country will need to test before they get on that plane, before they depart, and quarantine when they arrive in America. Our national plan launches a full-scale wartime effort to address the supply shortages by ramping up production and protective equipment, syringes, needles, you name it. And when I say wartime, people kind of look at me like, wartime? Well, as I said last night, 400,000 Americans have died. That's more than have died in all of World War II. 400,000. And this is a wartime undertaking. Today, I'm signing an executive action to use the Defense Production Act and all other available authorities to direct all federal agencies and private industry to accelerate the making of everything that needs to protect, test, vaccinate, and take care of our people. We've already identified suppliers, and we're working with them to move the plan forward. Now, look, our strategy includes a plan to safely reopen schools and businesses while protecting our workers. Today, we're directing the Department of Education and the Department of Health and Human Services to immediately provide schools and communities with clear guidance and resources to safely reopen the schools and child care centers. We're putting, and by the way, when you do that, think of all the people who can get back to work, be able to get back to work, all the mothers and single fathers are staying home taking care of their children. We're going to put the full force of the federal government behind expanding testing by launching a COVID-19 pandemic testing board. This effort will ensure that we get testing to where it is needed and where it's needed most, helping schools and businesses reopen safely and protecting the most vulnerable, like those who live in long-term care facilities. And for the millions of workers, many of whom are people of color, immigrants and low-wage workers, who continue to put their lives on the line to keep this country going through the pandemic, I'm calling for the enforcement of a more stringent worker safety standards so that you are better protected from this virus while you have to continue to work to protect the rest of us. Our plan also protects those most at risk and works for everyone of all races and urban and rural communities alike. Today, I'm formalizing the Health Equity Task Force that we announced in the transition, led by the brilliant Dr. Marcela Nunez-Smith, who ensures that is going to ensure that equality is at the core of every decision we make. That includes addressing vaccine hesitancy and building trust in communities, as well as fighting disinformation campaigns that are already underway. Above all, our plan is to restore public trust. We will make sure that scientists and public health experts will speak directly to you. That's why you're going to hear a lot more from Dr. Fauci again, not from the president, but from the real, genuine experts and scientists. We're going to make sure they work free from political interference and they make decisions strictly based on science and health care alone. Science and health alone, not what the political consequences are. The Vice President Harris and I and our entire administration will always be honest and transparent with you about both the good news and the bad. We will level with you when we make a mistake. We'll straight up say what happened. And I said at the outset, the honest truth is we're still in a dark winter of this pandemic. It's going to get worse before it gets better. It's going to take many months to get where we need to be. Progress from our plan will take time to measure as people getting infected today. They don't show up as case counts for weeks. And those who perish from this disease die weeks after their exposure. Despite the best intentions, we're going to face setbacks, which I will always explain to you. But I also know we can do this if we come together. That's why, ultimately, our plan is based on unity and all of us acting as one nation. It requires families and neighbors looking out for one another, healthcare providers, and business and civic and religious and civil rights organizations and unions all relying together on a common purpose with urgency and purpose and resolve. It requires reasserting our global leadership, which is why I took an action yesterday for the United States to rejoin the World Health Organization and to reestablish our global pandemic office in the National Security Council. It requires Congress coming together to provide the necessary funding in the COVID relief package and the American Rescue Plan that I will soon be sending to the Congress. I know these bold, practical steps will not come cheaply, but failing to do so will cost us so much more dearly. I look forward to working with members of both parties in the Congress. We're in a national emergency, and it's time we treat it like one, together with the national plan as the United States of America. As I said yesterday in my inaugural address, there are moments in history when more is asked of a particular generation, more have asked of us as Americans than other times. We are in that moment now. History is going to measure whether we're up to the task. I believe we are. The American people have given so much already, but I believe they're ready to set big goals and pursue them with courage, conviction, and honesty, because the health of the nation is literally at stake. It's not hyperbole. I'm convinced the American people are ready as well to spare no effort, no expense to get this done. What could be more important? The more people we vaccinate and the faster we do it, the sooner we can put this pandemic behind us and the sooner we can build our economy back and build it back better and get back to our lives and to our loved ones. We can do this. We can do this if we stand together as fellow Americans and as the United States of America. So God bless those lost souls in this pandemic and their families, all they left behind. May God bless all of you on the front lines who define the best of who we are as Americans. Thank you very much. Now I'm going to go over to this desk and sign these executive actions. But again, this is the plan. This is the plan. You can go online and get it. I know it's a lot of heavy reading, but it's all laid out in stark detail here. Thank you.
Live from the White House, President Biden unveiling his strategy to combat the coronavirus pandemic, pledging we will get through this. He promised to move heaven and earth to get more people vaccinated, but he also braced Americans for the certainty the virus is going to get worse.
I'm signing is strengthening the supply chain.
He is now signing a series of executive actions that he outlined, the service that he led on the eve of his inauguration in memory of the 400,000 live lost to the virus, Biden said would not be the last memorial service. He predicted the death toll would soon top 500,000. Getting the majority of Americans vaccinated, President Biden said, would take months. And so he also focused on reducing infections through mask wearing, testing, and reimbursing states for National Guard assistance with COVID-19 responses. I'm Aaron Katursky, and you're listening to live coverage from ABC News. Let's get to our White House producer, ABC's Molly Nagel. Molly?
Aaron, you can see Joe Biden there still signing a number of these executive orders. He's got a large stack of them seated next to him, where he is listing what these executive orders are as he signed. But to me, the big takeaway from this speech was his acknowledgement of this, the fact that this is going to take quite a bit of time to get the majority of Americans vaccinated. He acknowledged that this is going to take months and that continued to, you know, kind of set expectations that this is going to get worse before it gets better. You heard and you mentioned he warned that next month we could see 500,000 Americans die from COVID-19 and that there are going to be a lot more memorials before we can move past this virus. A stark change in acknowledgement and tone from the previous administration that largely sought to ignore COVID as part of their strategy. President Trump did not often talk about COVID-19 how the country planned to move forward. Biden is clearly making this a centerpiece and releasing a nearly 200-page document on how he plans to deal with this, laying it out in detail and posting it on the White House's website so that all Americans can have a chance to read it if they are feeling ambitious.
A change in approach as the new president signs a series of executive actions on the coronavirus as he tries to push through Congress a $1.9 trillion relief package. He said regardless of the political consequences, his decisions would be driven by science, and he said we will level with you as he outlined his approach to dealing with a pandemic that has hung over the country for a year. With Molly Nagel, I'm Aaron Katursky, and you've been listening to live coverage from ABC News.
When breaking news changes the world, ABC News, accurate, credible, and unmatched. On Twitter, at ABC News Radio.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL Draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.